Yes, guys. How are we? We're here. We're alive.
We're kicking.
We're kicking. We're thriving. We are absolutely thriving. My name's Dan.
And my name's Tom.
I'm here with Tommy today. We're going to be just chatting football, basically. Mostly Premier League. Mostly, obviously, we've got a bit of an Arsenal bias going on. But, you know.
With a little bit more in there. Just, you know. Not
just
always.
Just sprinkle a bit in.
You know, we need to talk about everything. Everything. We need to share it around. Share the love. Know.
Yeah, that's exactly right. But yeah, we're going to be here, like, hopefully, hoping every week. Just to talk about all things football, you know, the world game, the round ball game. We all love it. You know how it is.
We do love it.
It's an addiction, really.
Yeah.
It's an addiction.
It's our life.
What do you reckon? Some big things.
Oh, I think we have to talk about the big game overnight.
I think it'd be rude not to, really.
I think we all know what we're talking about.
What a game.
It was a very good win.
What a game.
You know, we, as much as it was a big game, it was expected, wasn't it?
I mean, I wasn't nervous.
No. It's been one of the first North London derbies in a while that I haven't been, my heart hasn't been pumping.
I mean, it's weird because I don't think I was nervous last season when we went to theirs.
No.
And we got pumped.
Yeah.
So I kind of tried to put my emotions to the side.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they'd just take over. But I don't know. I wasn't nervous, and it kind of showed why. We don't really have a reason to be. This Spurs side is not great.
No. No, and I think our form's been obviously great.
Yeah, absolutely.
They've had a couple. As much as they are doing, you know, they're not Chelsea or Liverpool standard, but, you know, the last couple of games haven't been doing too great.
They're kind of sat in the middle, like, of the contenders and the pretenders in the mid-table sort of thing.
But as much as we were confident going into it, maybe we shouldn't have been. It was our first win since... First win at their...
2014, Arteta captained the team back then.
Yeah.
And now he led the team to glory.
So, and it was... It was a must-win, really.
I've seen that a lot. Everyone says it's a must-win. As much as, like, you love to win the derby, that's the two games you pick out all season that you want to win.
Yeah.
I'm kind of like, we were 5 points clear.
Yeah.
Like, United gave us a bit of a cushion there. And, like, yeah, obviously you want to go 8 points clear of this City super team.
Yeah.
But I feel like if we lost, it wouldn't be the end of the world.
No, but the extra buffer United, that we get.
I feel like it wouldn't be the end of the world, but it would be pretty close.
No, but that's another game that is probably, we could probably say it's a must win, but... Yeah. Considering the eight-point gap that we've got now.
Just mind that gap for me. Really. Yeah. Just 8 points, by the way. Just had to get that in there.
But, no, I think City are, as great as a team as they are, 8 points is probably nothing to them.
Oh, that's so true. Like, just half Liverpool.
Yeah. Like yeah. And yeah. They've dealt with it for a couple of seasons. And
look, so. we could get 98 points and still just, like, I'd still be looking in the rearview mirror.
Yeah.
Like
being mindful that, you know,
very mindful. City will go and City get super team
another century.
Who will play average and still shithouse of wins.
Yeah, right, yeah, exactly.
But that's what we've been doing. Well, we've been playing the best footy in the league. But even when we do play average,
we get the wins that we need to.
That title luck.
Yeah,
it's coming in the title charge luck.
But this game in particular, it was a game of two halves, really, wasn't it?
Yeah, definitely. I think. Although I don't understand that really. Obviously, we start fast, Spurs start slow.
Mm.
Like, that's been shown in all season, basically.
Yeah.
That Spurs are a much better second-half team. And we usually go over two halves, but we always start fast. And then we respond quick when we concede a goal. But it's just the way we're set up, and I don't understand why Spurs set up that way.
No. No, they have a very negative... set up, especially going into a game that they've technically they have the upper hand in.
In
previous years, they have the upper hand in this exact fixture, and so that they've got no reason to come out with a negative mindset.
Yeah, and yeah. I don't. Yeah, look, it's all in the lineup as well. Like, they played, although that front three that did scare me a bit when I saw that.
Yeah, I don't think Kulusevski played last time we. Played Spurs, I don't know. I can't remember.
That front three has only played twice this season from memory.
Oh, yeah.
So it's... But yeah, I was scared. But Kulusevski, did he play last week at all? I don't think he did.
I can't even remember, to be honest.
He wasn't really ready for it.
Brian Gill's been playing a lot and he's got a lot of stick.
Yeah, as he probably should have.
Yeah.
He came on, although he only came on with like a few minutes left, but
yeah,
I didn't really notice him at all, to be honest.
Yeah.
Apart from that dreadful haircut. Looks awful, bro.
But Kane was silenced for the most part. He had that one header that Ramsdale, yeah, that really nice. It was a good header and a great save.
I would have thought he'd go far post there, but Ramsdale, obviously, that's why he's the keeper, I suppose.
Yeah. But Gabriel was immense. Amazing.
I think we need to start giving him his flowers.
Yeah. Because when Saliba came in, it was all about him. Yeah. And everyone kind of forgot about Gabriel a bit.
Because we were excited. It was like a new signing. And
yeah.
But Gabriel's been doing it for years, just quietly.
Yeah.
He has a Bozo gene in him.
Yeah.
He does.
Has a slip up and a mistake. And even in that game, I can't remember specifically what he did, but I remember there was something that a pass back or something that and he always has one of those.
It's always something, like he loses concentration. That was like Shaka, but
yeah.
I think they both, for the most part, ironed that out this season.
Yeah.
Which is, we're absolutely thriving off, which is what we needed, just to iron that stuff out.
Yeah.
But I think Kane, right, like he's hailed as the best, like one of the best playmakers because he drops deep and he spreads balls to Son and Kulusevski. Every long ball he did in that first half, it met like Gabriel or Saliba's head or Ben White's head or just went nowhere near the target.
Yeah.
I was actually surprised because I really thought that was going to be an outlet for him, but
Usually it is.
It's
usually a penalty.
Against the monstrosity of the back four that we have.
Yeah.
There's no chance.
But some would say he was the second best English striker in that game. even though Nketiah didn't score.
That was quality.
He had a couple of chances where you're like, okay, he probably should have done better. But in the past couple of games,
whether he did two massive saves.
Yeah.
But he has an all-round centre-forward performance.
Yeah. Since he's come in for Jesus, you can't fault much.
I think I said the other day, like, the biggest testament to Nketiah is that we haven't missed Jesus.
No.
And that's like...
Which is a massive compliment.
That is a massive compliment. Because Jesus, he did so much for us.
Yeah.
Like, he linked the play so well, and Nketiah's actually done that.
Yeah.
And as well, I think a few seasons ago, you'd look at Nketiah and he'd just go for goal as soon as he gets that breakaway. We could be 2-0 up in the 85th minute, and he'll go straight for the goal.
Yeah.
This time, he just takes it to the corner flag.
Yeah.
Like, he's matured. And he knows how to, like, work for the team sort of thing.
Yeah.
He's a much better player than he was. And I think if he was Brazilian or if he was French or something, he'd be like 80 mil.
Well, even then, what would you price him at then? As he is, what would you, if we were to, because if we go and get Jesus back, and we go and sign a striker in the summer,
I don't
probably a move Nketiah on. How much are you selling him for?
That's the thing as well with Nketiah. I think no matter what he does, he's always going to be looked at as that second striker.
Yeah,
but I think the last couple of games he's done enough to prove that he can stay and actually fight Jesus for it.
Yeah,
like I see no reason to get another striker. Like, he's never seen as that high caliber striker, but like,
no,
his game's developed. Why can't he be that striker?
Yeah, he's what, 23 now?
23, I think.
Maturing.
Yeah. Which, by the way, is the same age as Ødegaard, and we all think he's youngest. Yeah.
Yep. So, but what would you price him at then?
He'd have to be, like, you remember Rion Brewster?
Yeah.
How many appearances did he make?
Oh, jeez.
Didn't they say how much they sell him for? Like,
I don't even. It was too much.
Yeah, too much.
And what's he done since?
Yeah, exactly.
So
exactly. And Liverpool, they're really good at getting fees for him, but they always get so much for their players who made like two appearances.
Yeah.
And Nketiah is the highest scoring under-21 England international, which they gave him his accolade for that 2 years late, but that's fine. FA will look past that.
Nico Williams.
Nico
to Forest. I think he went for 20 or something.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. So I think he'd have to be. You look at his appearances, how many appearances he's made. That's massive.
Yeah.
And then his goals.
Yeah.
His goal
when
record.
When he started, his
what was it? 2 games ago, like 14 home starts, 14 goals.
Yeah.
That's just nuts.
So
that's nuts.
I'd say around 40.
I'd say like 55. Someone comes in for him. Say what? Right, that's just for the sake of argument. Let's say Chelsea come in for him. Obviously, well, you're gonna want more. Because you're gonna want more for some of them.
Yeah.
So let's say, like Villarreal come in, and they're Atletico Madrid, maybe.
But if it was Villarreal, they're not offering much.
Yeah, all right. So
I think if someone came in and offered 40 mil for Nketiah,
are you taking that?
I'd negotiate it. But if that was the first bid, if 40 mil was the first bid, I'd negotiate it. I wouldn't just say straight up, sure.
I'm at the point. I'm Eddie. I'm bandwagon Eddie right now. Like, I'm saying 40 mil up front.
Okay, with add-ons. I can see that.
Plus
15.
Like, rising to like 65
okay.
mil in add-ons.
Okay.
I know I just added like 10 mil there, but...
yeah.
I'm starting to rate this guy so much.
Yeah.
And I'm so happy for him. Because he's a mentality monster and he's finally showing it. He's been saying it for years. He's been biding his time.
Yeah.
And now, when he's been told, everyone was on him saying, you know, he has to perform, he's actually doing it. So.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think 50 is fair.
50, yeah.
I think 50 is fair.
But
I'd absolutely take 50 for him. Because if you're going, you get that and you go and buy another striker.
Yeah, but who can you get?
Well, not at this stage.
Of that
but
caliber or better.
As a second striker, that's true. That is a good point.
Like, Felix.
There's not many who would. But
20 mil for.
I think also he's going to get to a point where if he continues to do well this season, last season he had a great season when he played, when he came in and started those games.
Yeah.
He's going to get sick of. He has just signed a new contract, but he's going to get sick of playing as a second striker consistently.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's why coming into that age of 23, 24, 25, he's going to want a team.
He's never going to outgrow that name of being a second striker.
No.
But I really hope he does, and I think he's well on his way to.
Yeah.
But
I'd happily if he was to become our first striker as our number 9.
Yeah.
I wouldn't complain, but I think we just need a little more.
He doesn't strike fear in the eyes of the opposition. Like you ask opposition fans, like, oh, who are you scared of playing us today? They're not going to immediately go, oh, Nketiah. They did when we had Aubameyang or Lacazette or someone.
No, or even Jesus.
Yeah, Jesus. They know Jesus is going to be a threat.
Yeah.
I feel like Nketiah is rising to that level.
Yeah.
And he will be soon enough.
Yeah, and we'll see. We've, you know, Jesus supposedly out till around April.
Yeah.
So that gives Nketiah another couple of months to really show what he's about.
It's a little bit worrying for me. I know I'm
Jesus
not
is out that long.
Nketiah holding down the line.
Yeah.
I'm worried about what if something happens to Nketiah.
Yeah.
Like, who do
because
we
then what do we have?
You
yeah.
Put Martinelli 9? Do you, like, what do you do?
Yeah.
Put Smith Rowe 9?
Who's
back?
Well, I'd. Yeah. Yeah. And. First Prem game since his... Obviously, he only played about a minute and a half. So, you know, I think... Because he came on against Oxford during the week.
Yep.
When do you expect him to see him back in the Prem? Starting a game.
See, unless... I feel like the last couple of games, Martinelli's had a little bit of a drop-off.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah. I feel like he's become a little bit predictable on the left, which
yep.
you see him a bit more coming inside, in the inside space.
Yeah. Especially in the Spurs game, we pointed it out when we were watching it that it was
and it was just the same Newcastle thing every time. Was it West Ham? I just remember seeing West Ham, he was floating around that inside left. Like, usually where Shaka games, I saw Martinelli there a lot.
Yeah.
So
yeah, and Saka does the same thing. To be fair, once we pointed that out,
Saka's a lot more two-dimensional.
Saka does the same thing where he comes inside a lot, but there's also a lot where he goes both ways. He comes inside or he goes down the line.
Yeah,
and like there was the Lloris own goal, was exactly that.
Yep,
absolutely. Went to come inside, faked it, went out.
That's because
he's
back so
out wide. Yeah. Yeah, and that's the thing. And he's starting to do that as well. He was very left foot prominent.
He is trying to
get his crosses in with his right. And so.
No, I think he's always been pretty good. Like, even in the youth, he was scoring as many goals with his right as he was with his left.
Yeah.
But he's definitely, and he's more bulky now, so he can use that.
Yeah, exactly. Advantage. Yeah, he's one of the stronger players I've seen.
Absolutely.
Which is, he doesn't look it.
Absolutely.
But he surprises you. He surprises a lot of players, I think. He gets, you know. And that's where some of his yellow cards come from.
Well, wait, so undeserved. No, does that reset after United? Because that'd be halfway.
Or yeah, I think it should. So because that was 19.
What if he gets yellow against United? Does that mean he misses a game?
No.
No.
I don't think so.
So it's reset now.
I think it resets, yeah. So which reset. Is perfect because if he had got a yellow card against Spurs, he wouldn't have played against United. Yeah. And same with Saliba.
And Xhaka.
But I think, was Xhaka on four as well?
Yeah, he's been on four same time as Xhaka and Saliba.
So. And I think Jesus is on four, but obviously he's injured.
Yeah, did not.
There were other games.
There were other games.
During
You'd
the
be
week.
Surprised to learn that there are other games.
Yeah.
You wouldn't have thought so because that was a pick a lot for me.
Yeah.
That was,
obviously.
Yeah.
But the Manchester derby was a big game for us, I think. Yep. Obviously, City lost.
I remember watching the first half of that. City, they just don't have, like, the bite that they used to this season. I don't know what that might be because of. Maybe because they sold Zinchenko and Jesus to someone. Who they sold them to?
I don't know.
The team's to off a league, isn't it?
Yeah.
No.
Silly business, really.
And that was just boring. Like, that was so
no, it
boring.
Was one of the more boring City games
they
I've watched.
Although I did, what I took out of that was Rodri's class, by the way.
Yeah.
He is class. And like they've done so well with him and he's done so well. He just spams passes though. And like they all just spam passes and they don't really go anywhere with it.
Yeah. No, they and they had a couple of chances, but well, as City do really, but I don't know. United played their normal on the counter.
Yeah.
And it, I don't know, I think City almost was shocked.
See, I was,
but
I like for the last couple of months people have been saying Arsenal play the most like exciting football in the league. And I've always kind of been like, yeah, but City's still in this league. Like, are people not watching City sort of thing?
Yeah.
Keep in mind that I wasn't really watching City. Like, so I'm like, how can we be playing a better brand of football than literally, like, Manchester City?
Than the best team in the league,
team.
Yeah.
With, like, the depth that they have and everything. And we're outplaying them.
Yeah.
But having watched that, I'm like, we are.
Yeah.
Like, we're so much more exciting. Even when we're defending, like, we're just...
Yeah.
Like, we're just good to watch.
Yeah, no... I think that's one thing that's changed this season is that there has been a City drop off to an extent.
Yep.
I think we still can't think they're gonna continue to lose and drop points because as they do in previous seasons, they always find a way. But they do seem less like themselves.
Absolutely.
This season.
Which is good for us. It's like it's the opportunity that it's given us.
Yeah.
Like not often you see City lose as many games they have. Like on the bounce and just like their confidence seems all over the place.
Mm.
And like we're just taking advantage. I'm just taking advantage. Like it's like reminds me of Leicester 15-16. Like it was just they were good.
Yeah.
They were good. They were deserving of their title, but everyone else was awful as well.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's
so that helped them.
And that's the kind of luck that I think we at this stage need.
Yeah.
And I think that's almost why if we do win the title this season, it might not even, as much as it's going to be like, well, obviously great because we've won the title, but it's like,
I don't know if it'll
register. It doesn't come down to last couple of weeks against City sort of battle, then I don't know if it's going to feel as good.
It so will.
Yeah.
No, look,
I hope it does, and I hope it goes our way, but.
Are you saying if we're 18 points clear by like April, you won't be happy?
Well, it depends. If we're 18 points clear and end up on like 85 points, I'll
be
a little unhappy.
And people will just say, it's because no one else was good.
Yeah. Like, City and Liverpool weren't the best. Yeah.
Like, if we won in 15-16, it would have been that storyline. But because it was Leicester and their storyline, 500-1 odds, everyone was gassed for them. That's
exactly.
But it just won't be the same if we just storm away with it.
Yeah.
But at the same time, if we win in March, I'll be blind for the next, like, 3 months.
Yeah.
Like, it's going to be so good.
And that for United was 9 wins in a row now, I think.
Is it?
9 wins in all competitions.
9 games. Oh, all comps, yeah. But who have they played? They played
between
20th and 14th.
Yeah.
And then
Forest, Bournemouth. Then,
to be fair, they beat City.
Yeah. Which is that's the thing. Test. I think that's what most fans, including ourselves, probably discredited their run.
Yeah.
But now that they've beat City, they seem to be up there in that, obviously, or definitely top four race.
Definitely more scared of United than I am of Spurs.
Well, yes. And that's why I think next week will be an even bigger test for us.
But we're at home.
We are at home.
See how our fans are currently reacting.
Yeah.
There's nothing that's going to stop us, in my opinion.
No. No, I think it'll be way tougher, maybe not mentally, but United are not going to play nearly as negative as what Spurs do. They're going to actually come at us.
They're going to try and attack every chance.
Yeah, and their attack has been
nuts.
Well in form.
Well, Rashford, really.
Yeah.
What it all boils down to is just Rashford, basically. He's on fire.
He is on fire. And you know what? It. He's the one United player that I probably have a bit of a soft spot for.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I don't have for anybody else.
He was on his way out in the summer and I was saying, just put the bag on him.
Yeah.
Put the absolute
bag. I would not have minded if we had. And that's what I thought about the other day was.
I think I deserve it.
If we had done that and we had Rashford on the left right now.
Yeah.
I think.
Not to discredit Martinelli.
Easily. No, not to discredit Martinelli Rashford's because Martinelli's been amazing.
Rashford's got
and
a lot
I think
more
he
output.
Deserves to start, but I think if we had Rashford on that left side and he was playing as good as what he is now for United, I think I'd be much more sure of the league.
Absolutely, I think so as well. To be honest,
so he's coming into his prime though.
But
wonder kid, wonder kid, Rashford, 26-year-old
star boy. Yeah. No, I think look, going out of their prime though, Liverpool.
They are aging out. They are aging out. They've tried to bring in some younger players.
Not really much effect.
Kanate.
They said he's better than Sliva. They lied to him.
Deschamps thought so as well. Don't know why, but anyways.
Deschamps is a wild lad, bro.
Yeah.
That's why.
Anyways. But yeah, holding three against Brighton.
A really good Brighton, by the way.
Yeah, it is a very good Brighton. It is a very good Brighton team. And they are very scary away from home.
Yeah,
Brighton.
Absolutely. Their away form was like the fourth, fifth best in the league. Their home form was pretty average.
Yeah.
Like we put four past them, City put three past them.
Yeah.
At home, but outside, away from home, they're really good, which doesn't really make a lot of sense, but it just works.
Yeah. So, but Solly March.
Two goals and assist?
Yeah.
Is that what it was?
A surprise, surprise package. Feature.
When Trossard's out, like when McAllister's recovering from the World Cup, Matoma's actually come good too.
Matoma's very good.
Solly March has done really good. Matoma's very clearly done a PhD in dribbling because he's incredible on the ball. He's incredible.
He is very good. And that cup game that they beat us in, Matoma played very well.
He did.
It was that, and also the game that we beat them recently, 4-2 in the league.
Yeah, 4-2.
He had that goal ruled out.
It was a threat, hey?
That
last minute sort of goal.
Yeah, which if they had scored that game could have gone a completely different way.
Yeah, absolutely.
But no, he's another player I'd probably be looking at.
Absolutely.
In this, and now that some of our January targets haven't gone to plan, which we'll move on to later.
Another player you might look at from Brighton, he scored a really good goal against Liverpool. Danny Welbeck.
Danny Welbeck.
What a goal that was, by the way.
It was very good.
So impressive.
The flick, the volley. It was very good. And he was having shouts for the World Cup team.
Was he?
Yeah, well, some people wanted him.
No.
Some people wanted him in that World Cup team.
No.
I'd put instead of who was there? Obviously, Kane started, but I don't know who they took as a Callum Wilson, wasn't it? Yeah. Wilson. Some people were saying Welbeck over Callum Wilson.
Tony was in the squad, was he?
Tony, no.
No, he got left. He got left at home, and then he scored two.
I think it was
City.
Just Wilson,
right,
and
yeah.
So, but
and Rashford kind of there as well as backup.
Yeah,
which should have been Rashford and Saka and Kane, but that's a conversation for another time.
Yeah.
I could go all day about that, but
Newcastle played Fulham, didn't they? Last night they played Fulham.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're playing very well, Newcastle. I'm surprised how quick they've started
off.
They
are, but it was also a lot more like of what we saw against Arsenal last week.
Yeah.
Like it was all right and they got a last minute winner.
Yeah.
After I think Fulham well, that penalty,
yep.
Mitrovic kicked into his own foot, ended up a Newcastle, like, pretty much goal kick.
Yeah.
Newcastle free kick.
Yeah.
Which was, God, don't even get me started, because I haven't seen the highlights, but from what I've read, like, Dan Burn has taken down people last man, and it's just, they get that. There's a bit of money involved, I think.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of money involved in Newcastle. A lot of money involved in Newcastle, and that's helped them, but not too much. I don't think.
FA's recent bank transfers.
Yeah.
Because it's a little bit sus, but look, no, fair play to them.
But I'm worried for future seasons of Newcastle.
Yeah. Absolutely.
If they're already up there kicking around that third spot. With this team that they've got, which they haven't even spent much money on, as in much of the money that they've got from this takeover, I worry that come summer, where they splash 250 plus million on, I don't even know, like three or four players probably, they will really be up there for next season probably if they're playing this well right now.
That's really going to scare me.
So,
because they've just got unlimited budgets. Who's going to say no to that?
Yeah. And Newcastle, who they played last night, Fulham.
Yes.
Beat Chelsea a couple of days ago.
Yeah, they did. Which, like I'm not impressed by Chelsea.
No.
Like, not at all. They,
No, and I think
they're not really inspiring me. They're sat down in 10th.
Yeah.
And I don't think they're going to move from there anytime soon, really. But it's just their business model.
Yeah.
That just annoys me more than anything. They throw money at it until something sticks.
Yeah.
And then they just sack people. They just offload people.
Sack the manager and then end up.
For 8-9 months, enough for a season to get them through, win something, and then it's repeat for another year, 2 years.
Yeah.
And then they just throw more and more and more money at it while the FFP looks the other way. And it's just not sustainable at all.
Yeah.
I think Potter will be gone.
I think there's a couple of more.
Midway through next season.
I wouldn't have been surprised if he got sacked against Fulham.
Yeah,
because that is a very Chelsea thing to do.
Expensive sacking, though.
Like, it is a very expensive sacking.
He's the most expensive manager in the world.
Yeah,
he's on like 20 mil a season.
Yeah, and it seems like they are trying to build a project of some sort.
Are they though?
But well, and that's the thing. We know all about projects. We know they take time.
Yeah, we do. When they're done right.
But and I think if they're going to do it right, they need to keep Potter because he is a very good manager.
Yes, yes. I agree. You should stick with him.
Yeah.
But I also think...
And I think he deserves the position he has.
They don't have the patience for that. And I can also see him going to Leicester or something. A Potter at Leicester I think would be incredible.
I think
rebuild.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think if he went to Leicester, I have no doubt that he'd bring him back.
Yeah, they'd be back in top six, I reckon.
Yeah.
Like what he was doing with Brighton, but maybe a little bit more fundage potentially.
So, do you think Chelsea was too early for him then?
No, I just don't think it was the right project, really.
No,
I'm not sure. You need like guaranteed trophy winner manager to come in and do something like, as I said, for that one season, and then fall off for another two seasons, then win a trophy, like big trophy, then fall off. Like that's kind of their model.
It was weird how he got the job, anyways, because Tuchel probably shouldn't have been sacked at the time that he was.
Yeah, I
don't think.
Yeah, that was a weird time though. Chelsea were under fire and from every direction, quite literally.
Yeah, yeah. They were in a bit of
they needed a performance on the pitch, just kind of hide all that other stuff.
Yeah,
going on.
Yeah, and they couldn't and they get it at the time, it, so. But yeah. Chelsea, as we were saying in the transfer window,
yes,
we've had a bit of a run in with them.
Just can't compete, really.
No.
We just can't compete. Like, that was, probably 5-6 days ago, we were saying, oh, yeah, we'll get Felix and Mudryk. We'll get them both in to bolster our attack.
Our two main targets of what looked like this window.
Yep.
And they've both gone to Chelsea.
Yep.
As of,
like
a day and a half ago, really.
Outrageous money moves.
Because we can't compete with the amount of money that they have.
And to be fair, I wouldn't expect to compete.
No.
Like, we're looking at like 80 mil for Mudryk, which, like if you got to pay it, if that's the player you want, then you pay it.
Yeah.
But it just gets to a point where it just becomes silly.
Yeah.
And I think Chelsea pushed it to that point.
Yeah.
And it's almost five times as much money as we were offering him.
And even his wage, we it came out that we were giving him 35K a week or something, yeah. which for someone who previously was on like three,
yeah.
I'm pretty sure,
but yeah,
at Shakhtar.
1,000%.
Yeah. Is a big boost yeah. for someone of his age anyways.
Yep.
But Chelsea to come and I don't even know what they offered him, but it probably was way more than that.
I think it was like 120.
Yeah.
Thereabouts.
Yeah. Which, you know, for someone like him, if he's gone, well, the issue was Shakhtar's stance was set in that they weren't gonna give him up for anything less than 100.
Yeah. Which is fair. You look at Antony.
Yeah.
And that's what they were basing.
That was their argument, was that if Antony can go for 100 mil, then...
then why can't ours?
Yeah, exactly.
And that's what I'm basing
yeah.
my value for Nketiah on.
Yeah.
Modric, who scored like 15 goals in three seasons
yeah.
in the Ukrainian Premier League,
yeah.
can go for 100 mil.
Yeah.
Why can't Nketiah go for 500 mil?
Who's got more than
mil?
That in the Premier League. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. He's a more complete player. He's a more refined player in Nketiah and just, yeah.
Yeah. But as much as it looked like we were... you know, he really did want us.
Yeah. He was twerking for us so hard.
He really, really wanted to come to Arsenal.
I've never seen anything like that.
No.
He's praised our manager on his Instagram story.
And there's a lot of players like that who have either been fans of us in the past when they were younger and they love to post a bit. There's like James Maddison used to do it.
Yep.
But not nearly to the extent that Mudryk has over the last couple of weeks.
Extreme. And I was like, see, when I saw it first coming out that Chelsea were hijacking our deal, I was like, all right, well, I'm not really worried.
No.
Because he's twerking for us that much.
Yeah, he'll just say no.
He'll just say, well, nah, dog.
Yeah.
But, like, look at you now.
Yeah. But what it seems to be, though, I don't know if it was necessarily I wouldn't mind going to Chelsea.
Yeah.
Shakhtar, by the sounds of it, kind of said, well, if you don't, we aren't accepting Arsenal's offer.
Yep.
Because they haven't hit our 100 mil target.
Yep.
Chelsea decided to cough up the 100 mil.
Straight in.
Which it was almost like they even just were like, you know what, we'll wait till Arsenal go with the negotiations.
Yep.
You do all the negotiations for us and then we'll just pay the money.
You let us know how much you sounded out for
us. Yeah, exactly. And we'll just pay out the money. And then that's what it looked like.
That's what it kind of feels like their whole transfer strategy has been since Todd Boehly came in.
Yeah.
It's kind of like they don't really sound out their own targets. Everyone we target, like a couple of days later, Chelsea are on them and they look willing to pay twice as much as we are, and it just doesn't make much sense. Like, I'm waiting for us to go say we're interested in like Tuber Akpom for like 50 mil and then Chelsea come
Mate,
in and
Chelsea
like,
go and buy them. Yeah. Yeah, no, it's ridiculous. And
just try and bait them into a transfer.
Yeah, but it looked like Shakhtar were just, you know, we won't accept Arsenal's offer.
Yep.
Chelsea have hit that target for us. Mm-hmm. You either go to Chelsea or you stay here.
Yep.
And for the sake of his career, I don't blame him.
I would have stayed at Shakhtar.
If he really wanted us that bad.
No, honestly, I can't blame him. I would have done the exact same.
No. But also,
secure the bag for 8.5 years.
Yeah. That's a long contract. That's a very expensive contract.
That's just insane.
For if that is 120K or whatever it is, you say. Future. Yeah.
He could be easily a one season wonder at Shakhtar and just be awful in the Premier League. That's all right. He's got 8.5 years of secured bag coming.
Yeah, exactly. And now it's not our problem to worry about.
He could go to uni still and he'd just be like, he'd have it free paid for.
Yeah. So, well, have we dodged a bullet there then?
At uni, he might see Phil Foden.
Phil Foden. Oh, when he goes to uni. when he goes back to uni. Same with Hudson-Odoi.
Hudson-Odoi. He's on his
He's already
year
back. He's already, he's already, yeah, he's already a couple of years into his uni.
Graduation year now. Yeah.
No, but if we had have matched that 100 mil,
yeah,
there was almost an expectation that he had to have done well.
Had to have. And it's kind of like for Arsenal, that would have been, the media would have had a field day. They just would have been insane. Everyone saying, oh, you overpaid, you overdid this, blah, blah, blah. How is he going to fit in the team? Blah. And then at Chelsea, it's kind of like, oh, they spent another 100 mil.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
yeah, just to top off the 500 that they've spent this last 6 months.
Yeah.
Just, you know, casual.
Fair enough.
But the last time, he would have absolutely smashed our transfer record.
Absolutely. Well, depends what we're actually going to pay for him. I think we're up to like 80 mil.
But I'm saying if we had have paid the 100, 105 or whatever Chelsea ended up paying,
absolutely,
it would have smashed it. And the last time we beat our transfer record was Nicolas Pepe. There's mixed feelings around that.
If everyone's calling Antony a success, right? How many?
Pepe's a success.
What's his GA so far? Yeah. Through the season? He's got like seven.
I think
or
he's
eight.
On six. Six. Six and six goals.
Yeah.
I don't know what
assists
he's
on. Seven
he's
or eight goals and assists.
Yeah.
Pepe had like 18 by the end of it.
Yeah. So and by the end of his second season, he was
cheaper player.
In the it was lockdown season 2020. Yeah. I think he bossed it.
Yeah, he did really good.
But people were still, you know, I think he was still a bit his decision making wasn't there, I don't think. Pepe.
Yeah.
He had an eye for goal.
I just remember watching him. I can't remember who it was against. It was in the red lightning stripe kit.
Oh, yeah.
It might have even been in the cup or against Wolves or something. Where he cut back in on his left and it's like, yeah, cross it in. He cut back on his right.
Yeah, and he kept doing it. He did like three or four times.
He got space, crossed it in, and then he cut back in. Yeah. Like it was awesome because he sent the players every time.
Yeah.
It was funny.
But it's like you could have just done that in two less touches.
Like,
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I'm like, what is going on? And then he just ended up losing the ball.
Yeah.
And it's just... This just kind of sums up Pepe's career for Arsenal, really.
Yeah. But Chelsea have gone and bought not only Mudryk.
Yeah. Felix.
Felix.
Badiashile.
Which he started in that game, Badiashile.
He did. They kept a clean sheet.
Yeah, to be fair to him.
Palace didn't really offer much.
No.
I'm very underwhelmed by Palace. I think I really want, as much as I want Vieira to do well, I've always thought, like, since he was at Nice... And I just thought he was kind of average.
Yeah.
Like, he was finishing 10th at Nice. Where did he go from there? Did he come straight to Palace from Nice?
I
feel like he went somewhere else, and he was just kind of average there as well. And now at Palace, he's just kind of average.
And he was hyped up, Vieira.
He was.
When he first got to Palace.
He's definitely the best of Lampard, Gerrard, and Vieira. Both as a player and a manager.
Yeah. In the Premier League, yes.
I just don't think he's got... I'm not sure if he's got the minerals.
No,
As a manager.
Not yet.
Which fully develop him. But.
Which, and he would... He has more experience as a manager than what Arteta had at the time when he came to Arsenal. But...
Pep's cone boy.
Yeah. Which that seems to... That relation to Pep obviously has done something.
How long until we... Well, since Arteta's left, what's Pep done?
How long until the apprentice becomes the master?
How long until we say Pep was Arteta's homeboy?
Yeah.
Like, what was going on in that trade?
Well, Guardiola did just sign a new contract with City, didn't he?
I think 25,
I think that was.
A couple of years.
Yeah.
He just wants the Champions League.
No,
that's
he does.
About it, really.
Yeah.
And it'd be foolish to say he's not going to get it.
Mm.
But not this season, unless they go all eggs in that basket.
Yeah.
Put the robot on ice and just bring him out in Champions League games.
Yeah. But, well, back to Chelsea and their
I don't want
spending.
To Chelsea.
No. They're, like I said earlier, they've spent about, what, 500 mil?
I think it's 500.
In 6 months?
Nearing 600.
So what's up with FFP rules then?
Well, that's why... I think that's why Mudryk's on such a long... contract, like 8.5 years,
yeah,
7.5 with an extra 12 months option,
yeah.
Just because they can just pay it in installments. It's like taking a loan out on a car, right? Like you don't get that charge under your name for that 1 year until next year when you pay it again.
Yeah.
And it's like, so it's kind of spread out.
If they've dodged financial fair play, then fair play to them.
Yeah, then financially fair play.
Yeah.
But
I don't know. I think it's a lot of money.
If they're doing all their deals like that,
yeah.
Like, say they put
it'll cost them in the future.
On Mudryk, say they're paying 20 mil a year. It'd be less than that probably, but like 15, 20 mil a year. And say they end up buying Felix, they do the same. They pay 10, 15 mil a year.
Yeah.
Say Nkunku's deal is structured like that. Like, how long before in 2-3 years time they're already paying 60 to 80 mil? On transfers that they bought 4 years ago.
Yeah.
And, like, doesn't leave them much room to buy more now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's quite bizarre how they're running stuff. But, you know, I think... And some of their transfers aren't even, like... Well, Joao Felix come in. He's already got red carded. That's going to cost him a lot of money, him just being out for three games.
I think it's, like, 1.2 mil or something.
Yeah.
That costs them.
Yeah. Something ridiculous just for those three games.
Straight red.
Because, obviously, they spent the money on his loan fee,
yeah,
which again we didn't want to pay. because whatever it was, 10 or close to 10 million for a loan fee.
Yep.
Or thereabouts is ridiculous.
Months, a holiday in London, just go back to Atletico.
Obviously, they don't have I don't think they have a buy option.
I don't think so.
Which I think Atletico put into what when we wanted him, Joao Felix.
Yeah.
Okay.
He extended because I think what it is Simeone's leaving at the end of the season, which is pretty.
Which is the issue for him. Obviously, Simeone doesn't.
Yeah. Simeone doesn't like him, so he's going to go back to Atletico.
Yeah.
And just. Try it out under a new manager. If it doesn't work, then he's got a longer contract. They can sell him for more.
Yeah.
If it does, happy days.
Yeah, and I don't know. Six months at Chelsea, I don't know if that'll... Who's that going to benefit more? Because... Everyone.
Felix.
Yeah. Well, it would be Felix, hey, because it's just, you know, game time, money.
Yeah. Holiday in sunny London.
Yeah. But, I don't know. He's got... Three-game suspension. It's going to cost Chelsea a crap ton of money. And, which, you know, they already have issues. Well, apparently they don't have issues with money, but they're spending a lot of it.
For me, there's no better club it could happen to.
No. No, I've always said that I hate Chelsea more than Spurs. I don't know if that's just the generation I've grown up in supporting Arsenal.
I'm kind of saying on the circumstance, right, like, Spurs, if they fall off, they can blame like their owner. They're just and their board is just incompetent. Chelsea fall off, they've got no reason.
No, both of their owners have been very
the best backing in football.
Yeah, exactly.
They've got no reason to, and they're such.
They bring in good managers. They bring in good players.
Yep.
They've got no reason to really complain about. They've got a good youth system. Yep. Everything's going for them. They're just shit.
Yeah. They're just and they don't have the patience that you need in modern football.
Like no.
That we've displayed, that Liverpool, I think, are going to try and do, but I'm not sure if they'll stick with Klopp to do that. That City, I think, are going through a rebuild.
Yeah.
You can see a few more of their youth are coming through now. Yeah.
United's rebuild is probably their... Although it is a rebuild for United.
It's a rebuild, but I think they already had a $1 billion.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Again, they had more money than what we did at the time of our rebuild, which... And I always said that they're probably... in a pretty similar position to us, but their rebuild will take way less time.
Yeah, because they've already got the foundations. Yeah.
They've got the foundations financially, but also just as a club.
I just hope it's not coming to fruition this season already.
No.
That would really hurt me.
That would suck
as an Arsenal fan
seeing
us go through years of just trauma.
Yeah.
And watching Aubameyang and Lacazette dancing and training and just taking the piss.
Yeah.
Like, to see them go through that for about 6 months.
Yeah. Only if
they finished like second, third.
Yeah, exactly.
Like in their rebuild season.
Yeah. And they're another team we probably still should be worried about table-wise. They're a point behind City, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. They're above Newcastle now, I think.
Yeah. Newcastle and them are top. I think no. So United's fourth.
Yeah, okay.
On goal difference.
But yeah, Newcastle have better goal difference. One or two more games.
Yeah, something like that. But I think as much as United I reckon they're still there for some shaky moments.
Absolutely. I don't really trust that defense, to be honest.
No.
Like, it's definitely there to be
good. I hadn't looked at United much until that City game, and actually it was the Wolves game that was kind of the first time in a while that I'd really looked at what their team looked like. And they've been playing, well, to me, what it looks like Luke Shaw at, like, centre-back.
And he's been decent there, in fairness.
Yeah.
Which is funny because they gas Lisandro Martinez.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing. They're Luke playing Shaw him there instead of Lisandro, who, again, is probably another bullet we dodged.
I don't think he'd be playing left centre-back for us, though.
No, he wouldn't.
I also don't think he's, for what the position needed... Like, we needed that Zinchenko to be technical.
Yeah, and that's the thing. We went for Lisandro Martinez. We didn't get him. We went and got Zinchenko instead.
Yeah.
And he's been just about a revelation for our team.
Yeah. He's incredible. Like,
yeah.
But I just don't think Martinez has that kind of technical ability and positional prowess and experience like in the championship-winning side that Zinchenko's been in. Like, he's learned so much. And you see like, that mentality. As soon as we scored... Zinchenko ran up to Partey and he said, he's just like like, come on, like, lift your head a bit. Like, you're misplacing a few passes, just get your head back in the game. Yeah. It's like in that moment,
mentality monster, really.
Still in the game.
Yeah.
And I just don't think Martinez would have brought that.
No, not at all. And I think, because there was a couple of videos that I've seen recently that I hadn't before of him at City.
Yeah.
You know, getting the team going, like in the change room, being in the center of that circle that they have in the change room, and really getting them going. And it was surprising because it's not the type of player that you would think would do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think that's another kind of layer that we haven't had.
Yeah.
Was those sort of figures in the dressing room. And really just serial winners.
Yeah. No, so absolutely. I think, and that was for a team, obviously he loves City. They gave him his chance, but he's an Arsenal fan at the end of the day.
Yeah.
So you see his passionate City times that tenfold.
Yeah.
And that's what he is at Arsenal. He got a fine. It's come out recently. He got a fine a couple of weeks ago. Who was it that we played where he was on the bench in the black trackie, but he wasn't in the squad? And he ran up the bouncers thought he was a pitch invader.
Oh, yeah.
Tried to throw him out. And then they realised it was him. But he got a fine for that because he ran down the touchline when we scored and he was celebrating with the team.
I remember that now, yeah.
Because he's technically a pitch invader because he's on the squad.
Yeah.
And he's running on the pitch.
Yeah.
And it makes
sense. I remember...
It's just the passion.
Was it... I think it was, well, controversial topic maybe, but Benjamin Mendy did that at one point. Yeah. I remember. I don't know why I remember that, but I remember he did the same thing and they thought he was a pitch invader. I don't know if it was their title winning. It might have been their title winning season, not last season, but the season before that he ran on the field. But obviously, I don't know.
Like they haven't won like six titles in the last like 4 years.
I was trying to be specific, but
yeah, sick.
Anyways. I don't think he got a fine for that.
Rings a
but
bell.
Either way.
Yeah, look, checking club badge sort of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, one of them ones. I think speaking of your checking club badge, like the refereeing.
Abysmal.
You see that goal?
Abysmal.
That Bruno Fernandes goal?
Yeah, the Bruno Fernandes goal that...
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Marcus Rashford basically did 40 step-overs.
Yeah.
And then just, like... I've seen a picture. They removed Rashford from...
I saw that as well.
And it makes Edison look like he's in no man's
land,
which he wouldn't be there.
But then whoever
wasn't there.
I think it... Was it Kyle? I want to say it was Kyle Walker, but it might have been. It was one of the defenders was right behind Rashford. And, they take him out of the photo... And Bruno is well off to the side, and the defender's basically right next to the ball. And if Rashford wasn't there, it almost just proves the argument that if Rashford wasn't there, it would have been just simple.
It just doesn't
defensive work
like
for
Edison
City.
Would have come out for it,
yeah,
and he would have cleared it.
But Rashford being there meant that one, he was blocking the defender from the ball.
Yep.
Obviously, the defender from that point of view cannot really tackle Rashford from behind. And Bruno runs on and scores.
Yep.
Undeservedly,
I think.
I
think it's
easily
absolutely outrageous for me. Absolutely outrageous.
Yeah.
And it just doesn't make any sense.
No.
What makes even less sense is Dermot Gallagher came out and said it didn't go to VAR.
And that's what I thought was surprising as well, is it was an on-field decision. The on-field decision originally, AR put his flag up.
Yep. And the ref,
it offside,
the ref overturned it.
And the ref overturned it on the field without checking VAR. Yep. It wasn't like, okay, let's go to VAR and just have a look at it and make our decision then.
It just doesn't make sense.
I don't know. I wonder what his mind thought.
Is supposed to be checked, right?
Yeah.
And especially, even more so, check it regardless if there's a controversial thing. Like,
yeah. Yeah, because we'll move on to this after, but all the players of both City and United surrounded the referee.
Yep.
Yeah.
Don't even get me started, bro. I need to see. Yeah, no.
Which, you know, surrounding the referee, obviously City claiming it's offside because that was the original call. Look, and then once that was overturned, City went to them, but United originally went to the referee and was, you know, Rashford didn't touch the ball.
I think it's very
that's not
fairly
the rule.
Surrounded the referee, right?
Yeah.
Because, like, it's just...
I feel like there's not much of an issue...
When it's that obvious.
No.
And they don't call it.
Yeah. If they aren't touching the referee, if they aren't like, obviously we have no idea what they said specifically.
Yeah.
But as long as there is no, like, verbal abuse towards the referee.
Which there would have been, but.
Yeah, we don't know. But, you know, and that brings us really to the, one, the Oxford game.
Like, we're getting fined by having our Oxford four game. Players around the ref.
Yeah. Man, nowhere near what City had after that goal went off.
He wouldn't kill a fly. Sammy Lokonga, who's...
Yeah.
Like, what do you even say?
Yeah.
And
Elneny.
And, yeah.
What do you say, Elneny?
Yeah, Elneny, Lokonga, and I think it was...
I can't remember who the other one was, but they weren't even... They weren't really even there. So, that was ridiculous. Maybe less ridiculous was the Newcastle one. Was the... We got two fines in two games.
Yeah.
From the FA for that exact thing.
And they're just the ones that have come out. Like, we could get so many more.
Well, yeah. And like, that's the thing. And I feel like that's a relatively new thing, is seeing those sort of... Those receipts from the FA explaining the fines.
I feel like it's... Like, they know how to get the clicks, and it's just to do it on Arsenal.
Yeah.
And, like, I'm sure a lot of teams do get fines like that.
Yeah.
But they post the ones about Arsenal.
Yeah,
I'm not sure if they post them all and we just don't see them, but
we
see the Arsenal ones and they know what they're doing with it.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be interesting to see how that, if anything comes of the... I doubt anything comes of that United City game.
Yeah.
I think it would happen by now.
Yeah.
But my issue is, if they're going to do that to us, if that's the new norm and that's what they're going to do, is that if you surround the referee, you get a fine for it for not controlling your players.
Yeah.
I want to see it more often then. To other teams.
Exactly. I want to see consistency.
Yeah.
It's what we've been asking for years.
Yeah.
And that's where I think we sit with the Premier League.
Yeah.
Arguably the best football brand league in the world.
Yeah.
And without a doubt, like, I've seen better refereeing in, like, my Opens Div 4 that I play down the road.
Like, yeah. And they get paid like $15
I give them a fiver. I give them a fiver. Yeah. Handshake
well,
the game.
Oh, you give them a fiver.
Oh, well, look, I give them something else.
Anyways.
Look, I think the standard is just, it's so low par. And it's so incredibly
biased. For what is meant to be the best league in the world, and we've got the worst referees in the world.
It's just awful. Like, it's dreadful.
Yeah.
And it's week in, week out, you see the same referees making the same mistakes, getting a call up next week.
Yeah.
Do you want to do the City Spurs game next week?
Yeah. There's no accountability for mistakes.
But that's right. We'll give you another chance at the top level.
Yeah.
And that's right. If you fuck up next week, you can go again the week after.
Yeah.
You know, like, there's no accountability. There's no nothing.
No.
And it's just,
you were saying, with
cycle, we need, and that shows, because clearly the world knows it, the fans, and then FIFA itself as an organization knows it, because how many English refs went to the World Cup? I think it was the one at the end.
Yeah.
But it's
Michael
just,
Oliver and Anthony Taylor, I think, were the two that went.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure. And you know what? Anthony Taylor is probably one of the worst ones there.
Yeah. Michael Oliver's all right.
Michael Oliver's okay. I think we haven't had terrible experience with Michael Oliver. I can't even remember. We don't talk about him often, but who knows?
I just think, at what point does there become an intervention? Like, you see every other sport, like, the refs are mic'd up.
Yeah.
The refs do a review after the game.
Yeah.
The refs, like, you can hear the conversation between the VAR and the on-field ref.
Yeah.
Like, you can just... It's simple things like that would go so far in explaining what the thought process is.
I don't know if you've seen it. The MLS did... I don't know if they do it... I don't know if that's something they do every season, or for a couple of seasons ago, they did... they used to post YouTube videos of highlights in games where referees had a bit of a controversial decision, like a penalty or a red card or a VAR overturn or something like that.
Yeah.
And they posted, it was that the referees were mic'd up, and they posted that as an explanation for those. It was the on-field decision made by the referee, heard in full, and so that everyone could hear about it.
Yeah. That's
the sort of stuff that...
That's all, like, the tiny little things.
Yeah.
The refs are so overprotected. And it's like, okay, fair enough. but show us why they're overprotected.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, there's no...
And there's no decision explanation
like
at all.
A bit of accountability. Like, you say you're working at, like... I don't know. You're working at, like, the chocolate factory, and you spill a tub of chocolate everywhere. Are they going to be, like... And so, look, like, after the first time, they'd be like, all right, well, you know, just, like, don't do it again. You do it again next week, they're going to be like, okay, like, what's going on?
Yeah.
Like, and there's no accountability.
Yeah. There. Oh, and that's the thing. Referees make mistakes all
every
the time.
Single, yeah,
all the time. Fair. But it's not that, okay, this ref's made a mistake and he keeps making. Every referee is, and this is where the clarification needs to come in, is because even some players, but fans, not every fan knows all the rules.
Yep.
Some of the players don't know all the rules. And rules change every year.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's not something very easy to keep up on.
Yeah, that's true.
So explanation for decisions and big stuff like that.
Yeah. And I'm thinking, like, you can make mistakes, right? Like, they're all human. Like, on field refs, they're going to make mistakes. They're going to miss some stuff. They're going to be looking at something else while something else happens over here. Linesmen, they're not always going to see the finest of margins. But that's when it comes in. You've got VAR now.
Yeah.
Like, you've got no margin for error.
Yeah.
And for that City game to not even go to VAR, it just doesn't make any sense.
No. No. And,
like, and you should be getting it right. You need to define, is there a 2% leeway of his finger was offside?
Yeah.
So are you saying his fingernail is...
Yeah.
Like,
and if, just, and if the, in that game, line, if the AR has said it's offside, and then the centre ref has gone and said, no, actually, I don't think it is offside, that's when you need to go to VAR. Because if there's some sort of disagreement, they both think two different things, that's when you go to VAR. And VAR should be a yes or no thing.
Yeah.
Is he offside? Yes, because you've marked the line, and yes, his fingernail's offside. But you know what? That's it. It gives a yes or no decision. Yeah, it isn't like, we don't know, but we're going to give it this.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's what should have happened.
I think, and it might be a bit controversial, but I think you need to get. You see, in other sports, there's such thing as like a captain's challenge.
Yes,
I think no matter what it is, when the ball goes out of play, the captain gets three challenges per game, per half, whatever.
Yeah.
Or maybe like one per half, right?
Yeah.
And so they can just say, all right, well, you didn't see that. I saw that. I'm confident that you got that wrong.
Yeah.
Can we just go upstairs and have a look?
Yeah.
Like, can you send that to
me? And it shouldn't be as much as you can say, you know, I think you got that wrong.
And just.
Yeah. But, you know, I don't know.
And then just, so they make the challenge. They just. Something about the challenge is just about getting them to review something that they think they might have missed.
Because obviously players are always going to disagree with referees.
Yeah.
And it gives them an opportunity to say, you know what, I think you're wrong.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna sit here and criticize you about it, but I want you to check it. I want an external source to check it.
Yes. Exactly.
And you know what? And there is when referee accountability needs to come in and be like, okay, fair enough that you think I'm wrong. Let's go up. Let's have a look.
That's
and then
I
if the player's wrong, they accept it. If the referee is wrong, they accept it, and it's you move on.
You could make it probably a much more potentially streamlined game with the use of that by saying sort of don't use VAR unless a player's asked you to use, like, a challenge has come.
Yeah.
And they ask you to use VAR. So it's like that puts a lot more responsibility on the on-field refs, but maybe you get two refs.
Mm.
Like,
yeah, I'm not opposed to that. I think the whole captain's challenge rule is actually very. I hadn't thought about that because obviously it is in a lot of other sports.
Yeah,
but I think that's a good idea.
I think it's a shout, but I could just go all day talking about
referees.
There's nothing that angers me more than sitting 16,000 k's away, watching my laptop screen, watching the game, and this guy makes a call, and I'm just sitting here. It's like 3 a.m. in the morning and there's nothing I can do about it. It just boils up inside of me.
Yeah.
And I just want to scream. like it kills me.
Yeah. No, you feel helpless at times, but...
The only thing that does anger me, almost the same, is how awful I am at getting my predictions right.
No, it is the question on everyone's mind is, what is the ball knowledge of these two?
Not... not great.
But no, we'll see. Because our new segment, well, not new, because people, everyone does it. Everyone does it.
Everything's new, Rob.
But everything's new here. First episode.
Rebranding it.
But it'll be probably a segment for every week.
We're going to make a league table sort of thing. I know it's only 2 hours. But
yeah, but we'll bring other, we can, if we bring other people on.
Yep.
They can be involved.
So what we're thinking is we'll do, we're going to do predictions. We're going to predict every Premier League game. So hopefully 10 games a week. Yep. And then, so you get 3 points for exact answer.
Yep.
Exact score, guess correctly. 1 point for right result. And then 0 points if you just get nothing right.
Yep.
So we're going to do that sort of system.
And then tally it up for the rest of the season.
So yeah, we'll do it for half a season, right? And then, what, I think we put some stakes on it.
We can put some stakes on it. We haven't talked about this, but what should we put on it then?
I'm thinking like
a forfeit, or are we talking money here?
I'm talking like you get like the loser owes the winner like a shirt.
Okay.
It's a lot though.
Yeah.
But
okay. Like, we can do that.
It's a suggestion.
Or another suggestion. The loser.
Loser owes the winner like a full meal paid for. I don't know.
I was gonna say we can take a photo, dress up in Spurs stuff.
That means you have to buy Spurs stuff.
That is no, I know.
I'd rather
so just the loser buy buys the stuff. We can do a shirt. We can buy a shirt.
We can do a shirt.
That's a good $200. Of a good, we're good quality. We're talking good quality. We're not doing lousy shit here.
From the like Arsenal.
From the
armory.
Yeah. Plus shipping, by the way. That's expensive. Expensive to this side of the world.
Jeez.
So yeah, well, we can agree on that. We can. How about so what next? It'll be the end of this season. So you just buy each other. You buy the winner. The loser buys the winner.
Yep.
Next season shirt of their choice. One of them.
All right.
I'm down for that.
I'm down for that.
All right. Let's do it.
Let's limit it to no names on the back.
No names on the back. No, just the shirt.
Just the shirt.
Just the shirt.
All right. I'm not trying to get broke out here.
Yeah. All right. Or we do Arsenal shirt. With predictions winner on the back.
Hold that L. Like, look, no. Like, well, we're going to get started anyway. It's kind of put a whole lot more weight behind what I've put into my predictions.
Yeah.
I'm a little bit scared now, but let's have a look. So, we're going to, the first game of next week, well, the next game week, rather, it's in 5 days. Liverpool Chelsea, El Midico.
El Midico.
El Midico, my boy.
Yeah, mid-table. all right, well, you go first.
So I've got... I think they both got everything to play for. Like, they're both absolutely battling if they want to get to the top four. Liverpool being at Anfield, I think it might give them just a bit of an advantage. Is Jota back yet? I'm not sure if Jota's back.
I don't know. They've got a couple injuries as well, Liverpool, actually, yeah, don't they? They've always had injuries.
Find form again.
Yeah.
I think I've gone 3-2 to Liverpool, high scoring.
Yeah?
I think, yeah. I think Mudrick could play in that. And then he could get a Liverpool defence.
João Felix, do you reckon he plays? Oh, wait, no, I'm sorry. Anyways.
Anyway.
Yeah, no, I agree. I said 3-1.
Ooh.
So,
okay.
I think Liverpool, as much as both teams have been shaky, I think Liverpool out of the two have been better.
Yeah.
And I think, again, like you said, at Anfield, I think that just about gets it for him.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking too. Well, next game, got a couple games.
Bournemouth-Forest.
22nd. Bournemouth versus Forest. I think Forest is one of the worst away forms in the league. Bournemouth, they've not got a lot to scream and shout about, but yep. I think they'll actually come in this one. I was going to go 1-0,
yeah,
but I've gone 2-0 because Forest... Nottingham Forest, they don't have Lingard, they don't have Awoniyi.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I don't even know who you're talking about.
Don't kill me. 2-0 Bournemouth, I've gone at home.
I've gone quite the opposite.
Oh.
Quite the opposite.
Oh.
You've said low scoring.
Yeah.
I've said high scoring.
Oh.
You say Bournemouth win, and I also then disagree. I've said 3-2 Forest.
Ooh.
Because the last couple of, I always love watching when the championship teams that come up play each other in the Prem.
Yeah.
Because they...
That's a good scrap.
It's always... Yeah, it is. It's a scrappy game because that's what they're used to in the championship. And it's... I don't know if it was this reverse fixture earlier in the season that was high scoring as well. I think it may have been. And it was around about that score as well. And I'm going for that again. I'm saying 3-2 Forest.
Yeah, fair enough. that's mad. That'd be good to see, actually.
I kind of want to watch the game, but
well, Leicester Brighton. Sorry.
Yeah.
I just think Brighton. I think their away form is like their fourth best in the league. Their home form is like 12th.
But yeah.
Away from home, Leicester are just
and awful. Leicester look to try and get their form. They almost seemed like they were getting their form back.
Yeah.
They had
Madison's
a very shaky start.
Madison's playing darts somewhere, or like golf or something like. Yeah, I don't back Leicester. I don't even back him to score a goal.
No.
And I've gone for an absolute humiliating at home, which I think will see the end of Brendan Rodgers for me.
Oh, I think it's long overdue.
I think that spells the end.
I think it is long overdue, a Brendan Rodgers sacking.
Yep, I couldn't agree more. And I think Brighton are going to put 4 past them at the King Power.
With Mitoma to score.
Yep.
Well, Solly March. Has to be Solly March. Continues his form.
Will Trossard be back or will he be at London Colney by then?
Well, considering our January, our normal transfer window antics, probably not.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty similar. I've said 3-0 Brighton. I think it'll be comfortable either way. I'd be surprised if it isn't comfortable. Yep.
And, I think, spells the end for Brendan Rodgers, which, just quickly, who do you replace him with? I would love to see Potter.
Graham Potter, we said that earlier, but obviously it won't happen probably.
I don't think it'll be that soon. What, Tuchel still have a job, isn't he?
Yeah, but no. Oh, you know what?
Pep could be
this
out
is
of
a shout. I don't know if this is it. I don't know.
Arsene Wenger's still out of a job?
Nuno Espirito Santo.
Isn't he in Spain?
I don't know what he's doing.
I think he's in Spain.
I don't know if he has a job yet, but... I don't know if it was Leicester that I even saw him linked with or if it was... Oh, no, you know what it was? He's linked with West Ham because apparently David Moyes could get the sack.
That's true. I could see...
So he's linked with West Ham, but I reckon he could be on for Leicester. That's... I feel like Moyes and Brendan Rodgers are two very similar...
Exactly.
...managers.
Both like Brexit managers.
They need to get Sean Dyche.
Yeah. Oh no.
He's on a break. He's on a bit of a holiday.
Yeah, literally.
But I actually think that's a good chat as well.
Big
Sean Dyche.
If they keep falling off a bit.
Yeah.
Like where are they there?
I don't know. Is he surely he's retired 15th, by now.
West Ham 18th, get Big Sam in.
Surely.
Anyway, surely. Yeah, look, I've gone 4-0 to Brighton.
He'd be such a West Ham manager as well, Big Sam.
He reeks of West Ham. But
next game.
Southampton versus Villa, I think will be pretty close.
Yeah.
Southampton obviously 20th, they're fighting for their lives at this point.
Yeah.
I think Villa are just so distinctly average.
Yeah.
They're a lot like Crystal Palace in that they should be fighting for the top 8 for me for the last couple of seasons. They should just be building on that, and they just haven't.
Who did they beat recently, Villa, at home? 2-1, I think it was. I can't remember who they played. Leeds just now.
Yeah, Leeds.
Oh, they beat Spurs a couple... Oh, was that in the...
They lost in the cup. They drew...
Oh, yeah. And their form's been off, Villa. Southampton, obviously, bottom of the table, though. They got a win against City during the week in the cup.
Yeah, against their own player, Lavia.
Yep.
City's own player.
Yeah, and he was phenomenal.
He's good.
But, I think... What did you say yours was?
I'm going 1-1.
1-1.
Yeah.
I've said 1-0 Villa.
1-0 Villa.
I think Southampton this week.
St. Mary's.
Because what? They've just beat. Southampton just beat. Who'd they beat? Can't remember. They beat City during the week, but they beat. Who? No, they just won a game 2-1. Who'd they beat?
Yeah, they beat City.
Everton. There you go. They're on 3 wins. They're on 3 wins in the last 3.
Oh, they beat Southampton as well. So.
But I don't think it's going to continue. I think Villa will scrap it 1-0.
It screams of a draw.
Danny Ings.
Which Danny Ings.
Danny Ings against his former.
Danny Ings. But I think the next game screams of a draw as well.
I think the next game also screams of a draw.
West Ham Everton. They're just 18th and 19th. Again, they're like Palace and Villa. They should be battling for top 8. They're kind of the best of the rest.
Yeah.
they're kind of that 8 to 12, those 8 to 12 teams.
Yeah.
With, well, you could say that about anyone. Leeds, Leicester, Wolves, they could all be in that sort of spot. But, and they're just not impressing at all.
No.
Especially with what West Ham did last season. And with Scamacca, he came in, he's scored, which he could be starting.
And then got injured again, didn't he? He got injured and then, he got injured a couple games in, I think. Oh, no. Or maybe he did, but he was just playing in the Europa League, I remember. He was playing a couple Europa League games to kind of get into the team. And
scored against Brentford, I think.
No.
Did he? No, he didn't. No. I'm
chatting shit, mate.
But yeah, I've said 1-1 for that as well.
Yeah. I think this is definitely a game that can be or would be very boring.
Yeah.
I've said 1-1 as well.
Yeah, I wouldn't start for it. But.
Yeah.
Again, so on to the next. Palace versus Newcastle.
Yeah.
At Selhurst Park.
Yeah.
Like, watching Palace versus Chelsea, they didn't inspire me at all.
Yeah.
I was excited they might be able to do something, but they just didn't, and they're just average. Edouard doesn't start anymore. Zaha's kind of, he's gone in 6 months. I think he's halfway out the door already. Elise is all right, but he's got no, like, he could just, the amount of times in the last 10 minutes, he could have crossed it in, but he tried to beat his man.
Yeah.
I think he's not got the acumen, retention and knowledge to know to how to, what ball to play. I know that could be extreme after watching like one game, but
yeah.
I think Newcastle are going to put 3 past them. Although Bruno Guimarães went off injured at halftime.
Did he? Yeah. I didn't even see that.
So whether he plays or not.
Whether that's a big loss for them. Low. Yeah.
But yeah.
You think
I'll still put
pretty,
3.
Yeah. Has
Willock been playing for
Newcastle? He has. Yeah.
Is it Joel Linton?
He played against us.
Willock and Bruno.
Yeah, I believe so. Okay, right. I think so that's the 3. I don't know who comes in for Bruno. Yeah, I'm not sure.
I've still gone 3-0. They're on
fire. I've said, I think Palace seem to do really well against teams like Arsenal, Man City.
Yeah, how'd that go for them this season? Yeah,
well, yes, that's true. But they like playing against teams with who have a bit more of the ball.
Yeah.
Or a lot of the ball,
They
seem to do a little bit better.
Yeah.
I've gone 2-1 Newcastle. I think they'll lose either way, Crystal Palace.
Yep.
But I haven't said that it'll be as much of a demolition.
Yeah, no, that's fair. That's very fair. Then we've got Brentford versus Leeds, which I've gone for Brentford. Look, if Leeds play like they played against us.
Yeah.
Against just everyone.
And that was such a good, like, that was one of the best games that I've watched Leeds play.
That's the most under pressure I've felt all season.
Yeah. No, seriously.
We were under.
That was, if there was a game that we probably deserved to not win.
Communication breakdown too. That we had to wait like an hour.
Yeah. Yeah. And that might have been what did it, to be honest. That was ridiculous. We were up in, that was a 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock game for a 1 a.m. game or whatever it was. And it ended up, we didn't go to sleep till 4 a.m.
Yep.
That's, it was ridiculous. But
fuck this over.
6 a.m. Yeah.
Yeah, good. But no, I've gone, Tony's somehow still playing.
I don't know what that situation. That is, yeah, that's a completely separate conversation, maybe.
That's crazy, but Mbeumo's on fire.
Yeah.
And who's the midfielder? He's been really
Jensen?
Good. Jensen? I don't think it's Jensen, is it Visser?
Oh, Johan Visser he plays up front.
He
he's
3 disallowed goals the other week.
Yeah, yes, yeah. Against Liverpool. Yeah. Yeah, he had 3. Well, he had 2 disallowed and then ended up scoring.
I think he's playing really well.
2 against them anyway.
So I've gone 2-1 Brentford. I think it'll be closer than what we've led on there.
Yeah, I've also gone 2-1.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah,
there you go.
But I went 2-2. I went 2-1 for Leeds.
There you go. Oh, really?
Yeah. Ooh. I went 2-1 Leeds.
You had me thinking it was the same result.
Not the same. I think Leeds at home. Ellen Road's a scary.
It is.
Scary place to go.
Yeah.
For I think they are due a win.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Leeds. I think Brentford, as much as they've been very good, Brentford, I don't know, I have a feeling.
Yeah.
It's just my brain ticking the way it is right now is Leeds to get a win here.
See, I would have thought a 1-1. I would have gone a 1-1, but I think Tony is the difference maker. And I think he'll definitely back himself for this game.
Yeah. he probably... how much do you reckon he'll back himself? Are we talking figures? What are we... Yeah, anyways.
anyway, on to the next one.
City Wolves.
City Wolves. Wolves is classically City's bogey team.
Yes.
Adama Traore gets well lubed up for this. Yeah. And he just runs them ragged. Especially if they play Akanji and Ake.
Yeah.
Defensive partnership. I think they could. Although Akanji's class.
Yeah.
He's class. But yeah, I think City will be trying to bounce back off that loss. I don't think they'll thrash him.
No.
I think Wolves are always pretty good in defense. So I just said a 1-0 City.
Yeah. I think City will be back to at least comfortableness.
Yep. Comfortableness.
Comfortableness. Whether that's, you know. I've said 3-1 City.
3-1.
I think Haaland will be back on the scoring sheet. I think he's due a goal, Haaland. It's been a while, hasn't he? Hasn't it?
It has been.
He's been sat on 21 or 20, good thing whatever
it
is.
A cushion. He's got like yeah. 20,
yeah, I know.
Games
he could probably, yeah, he'd probably get injured and he'll be fine for the rest of the season or whatever.
He'll
but
still get the golden boot.
Yeah. No, I think he'll be back on the score sheet. Yeah.
City Wolves. So I went 1-0. You went 3-1.
3-1. All right. Yeah, I reckon. Well, I reckon as much as Wolves struggle to score, I think they will.
Yeah.
Just have a feeling. Just have a feeling.
Just got a feeling.
Maybe I'll go with your Adama Traore shirt.
I know Wolves are just going to like back up and just like play two backs of four and just sit back. Anyway, yeah. I'm going to skip Arsenal United. I'm going to say Wolves Tottenham. Fulham Tottenham. I'm going to get your prediction first.
I've gone Spurs to not win.
Yes.
But I've said it's a draw. I've said it's 1-1. I think Fulham did just beat Chelsea during the week.
Yep.
Did lose to Newcastle, but I don't think that was...
They could have got something.
I don't think Newcastle that was... It wasn't a poor performance from Fulham. I think Spurs have been poor.
Yep.
They're away from home. Spurs aren't always, you know, at home they're more likely to win a game.
I think they're set up to play away from home, to be fair. But
yeah,
I also think Fulham, they're kind of so good. And Mitrovic is unreal.
Yeah.
And I think they've had the luck go against them a bit last couple of games. But yeah. I think they'll just be nice and solid against Spurs.
Yeah.
And they'll just, I put them down as a 1-0 to Fulham.
Yeah.
So we'll just see how.
So another Spurs L.
Yeah.
As per. It's what we wish for.
We'd love to see it.
We do. We do.
It's really hard to back Spurs, especially with the football they play and obviously the club that they are. But
yeah,
I just really do like Fulham. And by the way, could that make them? That would mean that would they lose to Fulham. They get leapfrogged by Fulham.
Yeah, they jump them.
Although, no, never mind.
No,
what? No. I thought Man City Tottenham was this week as well, but
oh, gotcha.
No,
nope. Not we're not counting that game. It might be, but we're not counting that game.
We're not. It's not actually in the game week. So.
And then on to the big game.
The big man team.
The big game.
Arsenal United. I'm going straight in. I said 2-1. I think there's going to be plenty of attacking.
Yeah.
I think our defense is going to be a little. It's going to come down to defenses. Yep. I think ours is going to be a little bit better.
Yeah.
And I think we're going to test De Gea.
Yeah.
And is like what we did with Lloris. We're going to just put the pressure on him and just see how he goes being a modern day keeper.
Yeah.
And we're just going to hopefully blast me out of the water, but I think it'll still be close.
Yeah, no, I think it'll be close as well. And I back us at home. I think that's the difference here is that the game against them earlier in the year, we didn't play poorly. Yeah. I think we probably came out not expecting them to play the way, well, not necessarily play the way they did, but really just like they played their usual counterattack game and it worked basically to perfection for them.
Yeah.
I think we were the better team on the ball, like as in, you know, I think I'm pretty sure we had more possession of the ball and, you know, I think we created more than they did.
Yep.
But we couldn't finish. They counterattacked and they did it perfectly.
Yeah, look, they executed their game plan perfectly back then.
Yeah, which, you know, but I think this would be different.
Even though we deserve to win, but... So I saw a stat, our seven out of our 9 clean sheets have come away from home this season. So I'm kind of like,
okay,
they'll probably score. But I've noticed actually in yours,
you've
got 1 clean sheet.
Do I? That's really interesting. I didn't even think about that.
Which, who?
Oh, I didn't think it. Brighton. Yeah. Brighton to get the only clean sheet of the week. I didn't think about that.
I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, which could also be ambitious.
But see, I think that might be the thing is that you've gone a little low scoring. Yeah. Oh, maybe. No, not really.
Well, it's not.
You've just gone, you've just, no, it's not.
Or whatever that was.
But I think I've just gone. That most of the games would be a little more even.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
and some fair. Of the games that you've got are a little more one sided.
The winners I've picked are pretty much mostly one sided.
Yeah.
But yeah. Anyway, we'll see. Good luck to you.
Yeah, and good luck to you too. I'll be looking forward to that shirt.
Oh, I already know exactly. Well, it depends if I get the shirts this season. I might get you to get me last season's shirts.
True. A retro shirt. Yeah. That's a good point. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Doesn't have to be next season.
Depends on the price, really. But yeah. We'll see. Oh. I'll make it fair for you when you lose. Yeah, okay. I'll be gracious.
Yeah. I won't.
Well, okay. Noted. but I think that's about it.
Yeah, I think that's done for a first episode. I think
a long one.
It was a long one, but I think they may not be as long as that usually, yeah. But. There's a lot to talk about this week.
A lot of big stuff to talk about.
So, yeah. Make sure you follow us on all the socials.
What are we on now?
They'll be in the description.
Instagram, we're on Instagram, TikTok.
We are. We will be. YouTube.
Twitter. YouTube.
Obviously, you can watch this on YouTube and Spotify and or listen to this on Spotify and watch Spotify. On YouTube. Yeah.
But yeah, so just at is down there.
Yeah.
So yeah, just follow us on that and. Stick with us, hopefully, as we go through this, what a ride it is.
Yeah.
Supporting
us. This new era.
Yeah. So, thanks, guys. We'll talk to you next week.
Yeah.